Action Park Media.
You're on the ILC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the ILC podcast, as always powered by Action Park Media. Mike Carver here with you as the Islanders get ready. Round two for the third year in a row. Think about that, guys. The Islanders are in the second round of the playoffs for the third year in a row. It's amazing to think as they beat the Penguins in six. And as always, when a new series starts, we talk to our man B-Comp. We will do that in a moment. As always, you can listen to the show iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You know where to go. You know where to find it. Get your ILC podcast gear at yesmenoutfitters.com. There's a long run still to go. Devin will take care of you. There's White Whale hats, too, which are very fashionable now because the White Whale now owns the Islander net. So yesmenoutfitters.com, the place to be. All right, so like we said, it's a new series, and that means B-Comp is with us. Brian Compton, NHL.com, co-founder of the ILC podcast, of course. Our man B-Comp is here. B-Comp, how are you, my man? And another Islander playoff series. This is, and we'll start here, B-Comp. Like, before we even get into breakdowns and even the Penguin stuff, like, this has now become, since Lou and Barry have gotten here, now it's like it's almost expected now, B-Comp. Like, honestly, they're in the second round for the third year in a row. Like, there's, like, a status now that's being built with this organization. It's great to see.
I wonder if the turning point of the franchise is when I was forced to give up my co-hosting duties with you, Mike. What do you think? Maybe I was the kiss of death all along.
Dude, you might be right.
It's unbelievable.
I never thought about it like that.
I mean, you and I are breaking down Brandon Davidson trades and 12-game losing streaks. B-Comp, you can't do the show
anymore.
Okay, and off they go. The parade's coming any day now. It's nuts.
Wow. I never thought about that, B-Comp. You're right.
So I apologize to everybody for the years of, just complete frustration.
Yeah,
I guess it was my fault. Everything else is. Why wouldn't this be?
When me and you did the show together, they sucked. And now
it was awful. Hey.
Ever since they made you stop doing the show, the Islanders make the second round of the playoffs every single year. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing to think about it. But in terms of that big picture, B-Comp, just the last 3 years of how now the organization, there's a standard now. Like, this isn't – there's no happy-to-be-here stuff. There's none of that with the Islander organization anymore. It is become a perennial playoff team. Who has won five, I technically say six, because I count the qualifying series against Florida last year. They have won six playoff series now in the last 3 years, and that is nothing to sneeze at.
No, look, we now live in a world where the Islanders are, from top to bottom, the most well-run model franchise in New York. I don't think anybody, you could make an argument about the Yankees with all the success that they've had.
You don't want me to get started there.
Well, but you know what I mean, Mike? Like, we've gone from where we were 5 years ago to this. And it's a testament to Lou and Barry. And Barry mentioned it during his press here, and I didn't even realize it. He's made the second round like 7 or 8 years in a row, going back to his days with Washington.
Yeah.
So this is the new norm. And obviously they have a couple of more steps to climb here, but they have the right guy running the show up top and the right guy running the show behind the bench to get it done. We'll see how it goes.
Amazing. Before we get to the Bruins, let's recap what happened with the Penguins here, B-Comp. And honestly, like, from the aftermath of it, I cannot believe how many people in the greater Pittsburgh area seem to feel that if the Penguins just had any other goalie, they win the series in 4 or 5 games. Like, that's like this perception that you hear from the media, fans, etc., in the Pittsburgh area, and even some outside the Pittsburgh area, national types as well. They feel that just it was all Tristan Jarry, he was awful, and there was 8 or 9 goals or 10 goals that any other goalie would have stopped. This is fraudulent. The Penguins were the better team. Blah, 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 blah. B-Comp, I am here to tell you, and I hope you agree with me, that is absolute garbage. The Islanders played well in this series. Yes, their goalie sucked. And we talked about it, me and you 2 weeks ago, that it was the biggest advantage the Islanders had in this series was their goaltending. I don't want to hear any of that garbage talk, B-Comp. The Islanders deserve to win this series. They played really well.
Mike, we said it before game one. The two best goalies in this series both play for the Islanders.
Yes.
And that's why the Islanders have moved on and the Penguins are finished. It really boils down to that. It does. So It's no secret that you and I aren't big analytics guys, but when you look at those numbers, that series was way closer than the Penguins people are talking about. So, look, I think the biggest difference, and I think you'll agree with me, was Game 5. Ilya Sorokin stole Game 5. Yep. And it set up the Islanders to finish it off at home, which they did.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And let's go to the white whale in this series. I mentioned 2 days ago after the game, B-Comp, on the recap show I did, that we're going to look back probably at this Penguin series, whether it's, you know, 5, 7, 10 years from now, and we're talking about hopefully a lot of things that the white whale has done for the Islanders, and we're always going to probably look back to this series against the Penguins as his coming out party, going 4-0, that unbelievable performance in Game 5. For him to step up to the plate, I even said, I can't call the KHL the Beer League anymore, because B-Comp, let's be fair,
yeah,
him playing in that league clearly and winning championships clearly prepared him for the moment that he was thrust into in Game 1 of this series and how he performed in Game 5 and all of the wins. What a job by Sorokin.
Yeah, this is not your typical rookie. This is not like when Cam Ward stepped in for the Hurricanes in 06, Mike. This is a 25-year-old who was a playoff MVP over there and had ridiculous numbers year after year. And, you know, obviously there was a bit of a transition period at the start of the year. His debut, as we've talked about multiple times, he threw it out the window because he didn't even know he was starting until 6:51 or whatever time it was.
Right.
So, you know, it took some time, but he's here now, and his regular season numbers were good, and now his playoff numbers are even better. And kudos to him for, you know, just the way he played in Game 1, which really set the tone. And then he has to sit for two games while Varley doesn't play as well. Although, you know, after the terrible goal that Varley gave up at the start of Game 2, you know, he gave him a chance in the third period. He was really, really good and finished with 43 saves. And then we saw what happened in Game 3, and Sorokin goes back in there and wins 3 in a row. You know, to be 4-0 in the playoffs against a team like that, it's really impressive.
Yeah, he did an unbelievable job, and we'll talk about it once we start breaking down the series. He's obviously in the cage for Game 1. I saw some questions about it. Like, I don't think there's any question right now. The torch is kind of being passed here. Like, we didn't know when it was going to happen, and we knew it eventually was going to, but I think in Round 1 against the Penguins, I think we saw the torch get passed to where Ilya Sorokin is going to become you know, the number one goaltender for the New York Islanders. And maybe there is going to be a way to save some cap with Varlamov in the offseason, things like that, now that you know that this kid could do that. But I'm not talking about the offseason, they become. I don't want to get there. Other things other things from this series. Obviously, I got on Brock for a long time. I thought he was possibly their best skater in this series. I thought Sorokin was their best player, obviously, in the series, but their best skater was clearly Brock Nelson, I thought, and the guys that he plays with, Josh Bailey and Anthony Beauvillier, also were unbelievable. Those guys, B-Com, Beauvillier has stretches where he disappears in the regular season. We know how some of the fan base feels about Josh Bailey. I've had my time with Brock, not since Barry's been here, we know that. I've turned the corner on Brock. But B-Comp, these guys now, for all, you know, this is every year now in the playoffs, they score big goals, and they did it
they
again
sure
in
do.
This Penguin series.
No disrespect to Matthew Barzal, Mike, but in terms of consistency, is this their top line now?
Yes.
At least for now?
Yes.
I think it is, because you have a better idea of what you're getting from that line than you do from Barzal's line.
I'll tell you this, B-Comp, a minute left in the game, Islanders are down a goal. Now Barzal will be out there.
What do you want on
well,
the
listen,
ice? Right.
Well, Barzal
yeah.
will be out there because he'll
right,
you're
course.
Gonna have an extra guy if you're down a goal. We get
yep.
that. Barzal will always be on the ice with a minute left in the game. But let's get, you know, 2-3 minutes. I want that line on the ice, because especially in the playoffs, they make things happen, B-Comp. They just do.
Brock was a monster.
Oh,
a monster.
So good.
All series.
So
he really,
good.
Really was.
Both ends.
Bailey,
both ends, B-Comp. Both ends,
yeah.
Brock was a monster.
All 200 feet. He was an absolute monster. Bailey's pass to Brock in Game 6 was just ridiculous. And then Beauvillier played with a ton of energy and finished with 7 points. I mean, he was tremendous too. So, look, I think we have a pretty good idea of what the Islanders are going to get from that line. And now it's time for Matthew Barzal's line to step up. I know Matthew had a few assists. He's got to score some goals, Mike, if they're going to win the series and move on.
And honestly, B-Comp, let's be fair. They were the line that did not really contribute offense. Now, Eberle had a couple goals. Eberle obviously did score a couple goals, but We know what the Brock line did, and the Pageau, Palmieri, even Wallstrom before he got hurt. Palmieri scored a bunch of big goals in the series. Pageau had a goal. I never count on the fourth line to score goals. I know they didn't score any goals. Well, Clutterbuck had the goals in the game they lost, the game three. But I never count on that line for goals. So whatever you get from them offensively is always gravy. If you ever get goals from those guys, that's great. But I think you're right. When we move now to a new series, it's going to be time. And here's what maybe will help them. After another monster series from the Brock line, maybe the Bruins are going to focus more on them. And maybe that will allow Barzal to possibly get a little, you know, maybe get a different matchup in this series. And maybe something can go from it. And Barzal played very well against the Bruins this year.
Yeah, he did. And Bruce Cassidy knows what Matthew is capable of. So I think they're still going to have a lot of focus on him. Look, and you know that you're not going to get a ton of goals or any, perhaps, from Leo Komarov. But, you know, in credit to Leo, Mike, the first couple of games anyway, he was their best player on that line. Yeah. I don't think it was even close.
I agree.
And I think it was game four where he set up Matt. He created space for Matthew in the slot a couple of times. And he just refused to. It's not even.
I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what that game four B comp. I don't know what was going on there. He had several chances to shoot, and you just said it. He was just flat out looking to pass. It was ridiculous.
And that's when just blaming Leo becomes a lazy opinion to me, Mike. Yeah. Like you've got to create opportunities yourself when you're the most dynamic offensive player on the team. So they need more from Matthew Barzal here in the second round.
And also for the cherry on top from this series, like once again, like and these guys never get the respect that they deserve in a national aspect, but they did it two years ago, and they did it again in this series. What Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick have become as a top pair in this league. They do not get the fanfare that other defensemen in this league get because they don't score points. I understand that. But from a pure defensive aspect, it is very hard, BCOM, for you to find me another pair throughout this league that can do the type of things that these guys do. This is two playoffs in 3 years that they have completely smoked out the great Sidney Crosby. I mean, completely shut him down. For two playoffs, 10 games they played against him. They won 8 out of 10 games, and they smoked Crosby in both series. These guys are unbelievable, too.
Yeah, that first round a couple of years ago was kind of their coming out party, and they've just been dynamite ever since. And, you thought maybe it was going to be different this time around when Sid scores in game one, Mike, but they just took over from there. I mean, they were just phenomenal. And, Ryan had a very weird year. Like, he and Pelly played tremendous defensively all season long, but he didn't score his first goal to what, April 10th, 11th, whenever it was. It was very bizarre. But he had a really good series. He had two goals this time. So maybe he puts up some more points against the Bruins. We'll see.
So the tears flow now in Pittsburgh. We put them to bed, and we move ourselves now to Boston, B-Comp. And the Islanders and the Bruins, it's been almost 40 years since they've played in the playoffs.
Crazy.
Which is, almost 40 years since the Islanders and Bruins have gotten together. This is a team, B-Comp, as we know, that has been a bad matchup for the Islanders for years. Now, this year in the regular season, the Islanders turned the corner a little bit. But as we saw with the Penguins series, you can take regular season and what happened there, and you can absolutely throw it out. Because
all of it
does not matter this time of the year. The Penguins beat the Islanders 6 out of 8 games, and it meant absolutely nothing when the money was on the table. And the same thing goes for the Islanders this year. Yes, they finally had some success against the Bruins. But all of their success, B-Comp, was before the Bruins started to kind of become the Bruins again. And that's just the way it is. It's the way the schedule flowed. And the Bruins got better after the Hall trade. They just did. They got some guys healthy. And Hall really made their second line more dangerous. It kind of revitalized. Krejci did a lot of things for them. As we get ready for the Islanders and the Bruins, round number two, are you with me that you take all the success the Islanders had in the regular season against Boston, you completely throw it in the garbage?
You have to, because their 5 wins were before the deadline. The Bruins beat them 3 times after they got Taylor Hall. So you have to throw out the Islander wins. You just do. And Varlamov had all of the 5 wins. And as we've already said, we don't expect him to play, at least at the start of the series. So you have to throw that out, too. The Bruins were banged up. Especially on their blue line for most of the season, like really, really banged up. And now they're starting to get healthy, like you said.
Tuukka Rask was fantastic against the Caps. That top line of Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand is off the charts. Pasternak had 6 points against Washington. Marchand's, I think you'll agree, he's pretty much the Claude Lemieux of this generation. He's guy that you hate if you're playing against him, and the guy that you love if he's on your team. And he always scores big goals. So they got to keep their eyes on that line. You know that they're going to get their chances. It's another huge test for Pelech and Pulock in particular.
So obviously we're going to, we know that. That is their line, the as they like to call them, the perfection line.
Perfection line.
So
it is pretty good.
Listen, I'm not telling you the line's not great, but I mean, right. I mean, B-Comp, we're not Gretzky in the 80s here with Jari Kurri. I mean, let's calm down with the perfection stuff, but fine. The perfection line, as they like to call them, that will be the assignment you would have to assume for Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick after their success with Sidney Crosby here. They now move on to the next top unit, which is going to be the Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak unit.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're really, really good. And yet, this is where Barzal comes into play, Mike. He's got to score big goals because you know what you're going to get from that top Bruins line.
Yeah, absolutely. And this second line, Hall has really made Krejci step up here. That has been the biggest piece to me with the Bruins is that we kind of have known the playbook with Boston for the last couple of years. Like, if you had the ability to shut that top line down, They had good role players, you know, on their second through fourth lines that could beat you, no doubt. But shutting down that top line was great. Now they do have a very competent second line with a dynamic player like Taylor Hall who can cause a lot of problems for you. And Krejci's playing really well as well. So that's two good lines for the Bruins now.
Yeah, and Hall's looks like he's found a home here after a couple of down years for sure. It's another dangerous line, and that's where the balance comes in, Mike. That's where you know, the Islanders have to get this more of the same from Nelson and the Pajot lines. They really do, because the Bruins have found some balance. Even Jake DeBrusk, who had a miserable regular season, he scored a couple of goals against Washington. So this is going to be a huge challenge for the Islanders. Trotz has already mentioned that. But I think this could be a lot of fun as well.
Now, I've heard for the last 48 hours how the Islanders aren't going to be facing Tristan Jarry anymore. No kidding. You know, it is what it is. Like, this is what happens. Like, you move on in the playoffs and you play better competition. That's just the way it goes to each round. So, yes, obviously, there's going to be an upgrade in the goaltender that the Islanders are going to face. And we know Tuukka Rask very well. He has been with the Bruins for a long time. He has a lot of success there, as we know. And he will be between the pipes in this series. I thought he played pretty good against the Capitals, B-Comp. He's healthy. Yeah. We know that he got really banged up in the middle of the year. I almost don't. And the Islanders played pretty well against Rask and Halak this year. It was their guys like Swayman who the Islanders couldn't figure out last month of the season.
I told you before the first round to keep your eye on him, because if Rask falters, he's going to go in there. And because the Bruins love him. But Tuukka didn't falter against Washington. He was off the charts.
He was very good. So obviously an upgrade for the Islanders. But this is not an unbeatable goalie, B-Comp. So I'm not taking anything away from Rask, but he is not Patrick Waugh in the mid-90s. So there's going to be opportunities here for the Islanders to score.
Yeah, I would think so, especially with the way the second and third lines have played in particular. If they continue on this trajectory, I think they'll get their chances. Again, Mike, I sound like a broken record. This is where Matthew Barzal has to step up, because you're right. This is an enormous upgrade in goal from what they saw in round one.
How about the Bruins as a defensive unit? We obviously know they have Long Island's own Charlie McAvoy.
Charlie McAvoy,
we know very well. They've had some guys in and out of the lineup there. Who are the Islanders going to look to attack on the back end as far as the Bruins' D?
Well, they're all good, and Kevin Miller is awfully tough, so you got to keep your eye on him. I think the most pleasant surprise on their back end, Mike, has been Mike Riley. I mean, they got him right at the deadline, and you're like, okay, I mean, that's some depth. But he was really good down the stretch for them offensively. He had a couple of assists against Washington. He's good on the power play. He's dangerous. He's more dangerous than I think people anticipated when Boston first got him from Ottawa. So I think everybody has to keep their eyes on Mike Riley.
Grizzlick's pretty good too.
He's good.
He's a very good player. In terms of the forward aspect, Richie has impressed me this year. They put Richie sometimes down there in the front on their main power play unit, and he causes a lot of problems in front of the net. So that's going to be a guy that the Islanders have to hone in on too.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth. I mean, Charlie Coyle is a really good player. This team is no joke, Mike. They have players up and down their lineup that are going to get the Islanders fit. So, you know, it's balance against balance. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Where are we at right now? And now, listen, nobody is ever going to give anybody any answers on injuries. When Wahlstrom, and they tell you Wahlstrom's day-to-day, right. He didn't skate before the game the other night, which tells you he's, you know, it is what it is. He's day-to-day, right. But he could easily be month-to-month. You have no idea. Any hints at all? Do you think, I mean, is Wahlstrom, you know, kind of done? Are we going to, is he going to all, you never know. He could all of a sudden show up at the pregame warm-up tomorrow night and he's skating on the rink. You have no idea. Do the Islanders need to get Oliver Wahlstrom back? Or do you think that Travis Zajac, who did play very well in that game six,
he was tremendous.
And Barry made great points. He won that faceoff on the Pulak goal and he prevented the goal on the other end.
Yep.
Zajac stepped in, but can he do that night in, night out? I like it as a one shot. I thought it was a great moment for Zajac, but are they going to be able to have him in the lineup every night, or do they got to get Wahlstrom back in here, hopefully, if he's healthy?
Well, he's not going to prevent goals every night.
Well,
I mean,
that
was a terrific play, but he can certainly win faceoffs every night.
But he was noticeable in that game. Like, he made plays. Like, he was a help to that line, but I still want to see Wahlstrom to get back in.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, I almost chuckled when Barry said he was a game-time decision. There was no way he was playing the other night.
Right.
Just the way that it looked really, really bad. I believe they showed him on camera during the game sitting next to Anders, so it's not obviously awful. He's not sitting at home. We'll see. I think the longer the series goes, obviously the better chance that he's going to play. Is he going to play in game one? I would be surprised, but, I mean, Barry, you know, unless he's fooling all of us, he didn't seem overly concerned. We'll see how it goes.
And aside from him, everybody else seems good to go. I don't think the Islanders have really had anybody else in terms of
the
injury front. They are pretty healthy going into a series where they are going to need everybody. That is for sure. Now, I have, for the last 2 days as well, BCOM, I have not seen one person pick the Islanders to win this series. I have not heard one person say, I think the Islanders are going to win. Aside from Islanders, like, obviously some Islander fans on Twitter, we know that. I'm talking about media members, people who do that. Not one person has picked the Islanders. And, you know, the space that I'm in, they are, the Bruins are -225 favorites now.
Wow.
Which is just, in the guys in the gambling world, that is, they are monstrous favorites over the Islanders in this series. The Islanders never get any respect at the sports books, and they're not here either. -225 for the series. The Bruins are favored to be the Islanders. BComp, I think that's crazy. I know that the Bruins should be favored in this series,
right?
But I don't believe that they are that much better than this Islander team. And you want to tell me experience? You want to tell me all that? Islanders got experience now, too, in the playoffs the last 3 years. They went to the East Finals last year. They've been
in
the second round 3 years in a row.
Yes, they have.
This is a closer series than the optics are presenting themselves right now.
I think it's another, I don't know if it's a slap in the face, but I think it's just more people who just haven't paid any attention to what this franchise has done over the last 3 years, Mike.
Yeah.
Look, I think this could go the distance because I think these teams are more evenly matched than everybody is talking about. And I think a lot of it is just the respect factor with the Bruins for, you know, just being in this position year in, year out forever,
right.
Not the last 3 years, forever. So we'll see.
Well, now we have to get to it, B-Comp. I want the official B-Comp aisle seat podcast prediction. You go first and then I'll give you mine.
I'll say Isles in seven.
Wow!
Because I picked them to go further than this before the season started and before the playoffs started. But it's a very hesitant Isles in seven. I'm not as confident as I was going into the last round. The Bruins are really good, all up and down their lineup. This is going to be a huge challenge, but at the same time, I think the Islanders are good enough to get it done.
Yeah, the Bruins are very good. I'm not going to deny you that, BCOM, but I do not believe they're as good as they've been the past few years. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're as good. And I don't like to take a lot of the regular season, but you saw some of the warts of what this team is starting to become after years of making a lot of deep playoff runs. You're starting to see a little bit of it on some of these guys. And I think this series, I think the series is here for the Islanders. Now, I'm going to go the same way that I did in round one. I would not like the Islanders B-Comp in a seventh game in Boston. I think that's a very very tough chore for them. I think if the Islanders are going to win this series, I think they have to do it like they did against the Penguins. I think they have to win a game six at home at the Nassau Coliseum, and I think they'll give themselves an opportunity to do that. They're going to have to, obviously, Soroka's going to have to steal a game like he did in Pittsburgh. You know, B-Comp, right. He's going to need one of those nights in Boston, whether it's game one or two or game five, he's going to need one of those nights in Boston where he's the story. He makes 42 saves, and the Islanders win some 2-1 overtime game. Like, they need almost the same script in one of those games like they did game five in Pittsburgh, I feel.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying about them winning a game seven in Boston. I get it. And if it was year one of this run that they've been on, Mike, I'd be totally on board with you. But this is year three. This is a veteran
It doesn't
group.
Bother them.
And if Zajac has to continue to play, you have another veteran in there who's been in this spot before many times. So I think they have the personnel to win a game seven in Boston.
I think that, you know what, B-Comp, you're probably – they've won enough games now.
Sure.
Playoff games, I mean.
Yeah,
in the last 3 years, including four games in Pittsburgh. They've won four games in Pittsburgh in the last 3 years.
Yep.
Four out of five. Yep. Yeah, they won two this year and two years ago. So they've won games there. I know last year was in the bubble. I get that, but they're playoff tested, okay? They just are,
exactly.
And you're probably right. If they went into a game seven in Boston, I don't think they're going to be fazed whatsoever by the situation. But I am either way going to go with the Islanders in six games, B-Comp.
All right.
I think that they win this thing again at the Coliseum, and if they have to go to a seventh game in Boston, I'm sure that we could pull my leg and get me to take the Islanders in 7 as well. Look, I think these two teams are razor thin. I think it's just like all four of these teams were good. All four of them.
Yeah.
There wasn't much separating these four teams.
There really wasn't.
And there definitely isn't an over 2-1 favorite separation in these two teams. There just is not at all. I cannot believe how big a favorite the Bruins are and all the charts and graphs and all the things that are going on here. I think the Islanders are going to win this series, B-Comp. That's it. You want to make it six games, seven games? I don't care what you do. They're going to beat this team.
Yeah, the idea that there's this enormous disparity between the teams, I think, is ludicrous. This is going to be a very evenly matched six or seven games for sure.
And I'll tell you who has a score some bigger goals in this series. He was really good in the Penguin series. But I think he scores bigger goals in this series, and that's Pageau. I think Pageau has
7 points.
He had 7 points. You're right, but. He had a quiet 7 points.
Yeah, he did.
He had a quiet 7 points. Like
I
feel like it'll be an unquiet. There'll be some unquiet moments for J.G. Pageau in this series against the Boston Bruins. Because I think, B-Comp, I think that there are some holes in the bottom six on the Boston Bruins.
Agreed.
I think there's some holes there. And I think there's going to be opportunities for the Islanders to exploit those holes. And who's some of the guys that's going to be on the ice for those? That's Pageau. Yeah. That's Palmieri, and that's where I think that this is going to be the chance for the Islanders to get this done. So we found two people, guys, who like the Islanders to beat the Bruins. Stunningly, it's B-Comp and Carver on the ILC podcast. So we did find two people who think the Islanders are going to win. Very fast, B-Comp, before we wrap things up. I think that the league has a chance for four dynamite second round series here. Now, Vegas has to finish the job on Friday night against Minnesota. No disrespect to the Minnesota Wild. They've had an unbelievable season. I love some of their players. They cannot ruin this Vegas-Colorado series for us. They can't do it. They can't do it. B-Comp, we've been waiting all year for this series. I want the Avalanche, and I want the Golden Knights, and I want them in a seven-gamer, because you know why. You know I'm down on the Avalanche, and I think that Vegas is the only team that can beat them.
I'm with you.
So I need Vegas in that second round. But think about this. If Vegas wins, and listen, the Leafs aren't going to lose two games to the Habs. The Leafs are going to beat the Canadiens.
Agreed. Yep.
You're talking Isles Bruins, Carolina Tampa Bay, Colorado Vegas, and even Toronto Winnipeg is going to have spice because Hellebuck is going to have a chance to send the Leafs home. You're talking four dynamite second round series if we get them, B-Comp.
I'm with you. I think they're all going to be fantastic series. And I think Vegas will get it done. I just can't see Fleury and those guys coming up short in a big spot like that. We'll see how it goes. But kudos to the Wild for the series they played. Kudos to Nashville.
I was just going to say that to you. That was where I was going
what
next.
A performance.
I thought they'd get swept.
UC Saros was unbelievable.
I thought they'd get swept, B-Comp. I got to tell you, great job by Nashville. I thought Hines would get whacked, all this. they showed a lot of guts. Four overtime games in a row with that team, and they had a 3-1 lead last night and just couldn't shut the door on Carolina. But what a job by Nashville. And once again, B-Comp, what a dog the Oilers were. I mean, seriously,
I had Winnipeg winning, I did not see that. I thought Winnipeg would win too,
but not like that, B-Comp. And let me tell you, I know people don't want to hear it, and that, and the rest of the team, it's going to start to rumble there. That kid loses every year. He's got Mike Smith in goal, B-Comp.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done, okay?
Yeah, no, they got to get an upgrade there, Mike, and maybe they will this summer. But at the same time, like, you can't start screaming that Connor's got to demand trades and stuff. He needs to come up bigger.
I agree with you.
What, do you have 105 points?
And then, only did he not show up in the series, B-Comp, to sit there at the podium after the game when you get swept and say, I thought we did some good things, and it just didn't go our way. But Connor, like, honestly, dude, like, if you played in any other, and I know it's a tough market in Edmonton. I'm sure that up there, we're not in Edmonton. I'm sure that, I hope at least, that they skewered him a little bit for what he said on the podium. But any, you know, a tough U.S. market, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, if McDavid sat up there after getting swept and said we did some good things, he would get roasted. I don't care how big of a star he is in the league.
And this is where, just because you're the best player, I mean, I don't know Connor personally. I've only never even once or twice, but just because you're the best player, it doesn't mean you get to be the captain. This goes back to when Tavares left. Barzal's got to be the captain. No. And you and I said absolutely not.
Yep.
And look what happened last year. The Islanders lose, and Anders Lee is in tears at the podium.
Yeah.
And Connor's shaking this off like it's no big deal.
I agree.
That's the difference between the two guys.
I agree. 100% B-Comp. Awful job by them this year. So Islanders and the Bruins, game one, Saturday night, 8 o'clock on the Big Peacock, NBC. So that's listen, Islanders, a lot of exposure here. This is a big exposure. Islanders and Bruins, they're gonna get a lot of NBC games over the next couple of weeks. Probably we don't know the rest of the schedule yet. This is where I'll talk. I'm not gonna let B-Comp incriminate himself because he works for the league. But can we please get the rest of the schedule? Like, honestly, like, what's the cloak and dagger here? Like, we know you're gonna play Saturday and Monday. Could you let us know when you're at the Coliseum so that we can make some plans? Please, just honestly. So there you go, B-Comp. I said it for you. Tremendous job.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Okay. So B-Comp likes the Islanders in 7. I also like the Islanders. I say 6, but you know what? If they go to a 7th, they'll win it there too. I think the Islanders are going to beat this team. The Bruins have some holes, and the Islanders are going to find them, and that's just the way it is. B-Comp, tremendous job as always, my man.
Well, wait, where are we going afterwards? We didn't even get to that yet.
Where are we going afterwards? Where are we going afterwards?
Come on, man.
Oh, jeez.
Shoot me a text.
Oh, jeez. Where are we going afterwards? Okay, I got you.
You got me?
I got you. I got you, right, B-Comp. Good. B-Comp right there. Tremendous job. Brian Compton, NHL.com. ILC Podcast, my thanks as always. Action Park Media. Devin, YesMenOutfitters.com. Get your ILC podcast gear there. Get your White Whale shirts, etc. We will see you, hopefully, after a couple post games. I'm trying, guys. I'm doing the best that I possibly can. B-Comp, it's hard, bro. Like, I got to tell you. Listen, man. You add the second one in the mix.
I've got some
other stuff going on at home, too. And then they've got me back going into the city now every day for work. So I'm on the iron horse every day now, going in and out. And time is tight.
About it, brother.
So we are going to do what we can, but we never miss the Brian Compton series preview when the Islanders have a big series. B-Comp, you're the best, my man. I'll talk to you later. ILC Podcast, Mike Carver, Islanders, Bruins. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you guys next time.